lives transform and change. That's why we do what we do. We're in a series called Change. This is our fifth Sunday. We've got one more Sunday in this series. And I'm going to be reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, if you want to be turning. If not, we'll have the words on the screen for you. Talking about the power to change today. I was thinking back this week, I don't know, sometimes think about these things, but I remember when I was growing up, a lot of men did this, in fact, as a kid, it seemed like that was one of the things that was put on me that to do these same kind of things is, how many know that when you're a kid, the adults teach you what they do, you know? There's things you do right now just because an adult, mother, father, grandparent in your life did it this way and told you this is how you do it, and they showed you how to do it, and it's why you do it, you know? How many guys know how to tie a tie because dad or somebody showed you how to tie a tie? I tie my tie the same way I've always, I don't have one on this morning, but the way that I've always tied it. And I've looked a couple times at doing it different, but it's almost like this muscle memory thing that when I put a tie on, I just loop the thing off. And to be honest with you, without the tie in my hand, I can't really do it, but if you put the tie in my hand, I can do it like, boom, it's done. And because I was taught how to tie a tie, and that's the way I was taught, and it just continued on. And a few of the things that I remember when I was a kid, my dad carried, and some of you older men, and maybe some young guys too, would carry things in your pocket. And I had one when I was a kid. It was a pocket knife. Anybody, your grandfather or dad always had a pocket knife, or you grew up having a pocket knife in your pocket, or maybe, how many men have one in their pocket right now? Pocket knife. Rich over here. Yeah. You got one. And because somebody showed you, and when I was a kid, it was so cool. I mean, I carried, and it's amazing the things when you're a kid, little boy that you have in your pockets. It's hard to imagine your pants even stay up, you know. And I remember I carried my pocket knife everywhere. I mean, I'd have been bad for the schools today because I just carried my knife. I didn't hardly ever pull it out unless I was like showing somebody or, you know. But pocket knife. And then the other thing, and I never did like this, but, and I haven't even got one with my last name on S, but a handkerchief. Grandpas and dads, when I was a kid, always had handkerchiefs. And I remember when I was going to school, they folded up a handkerchief and put it in my pocket. I was in first grade to have with me at school that day. Oh, what am I going to do with a handkerchief? And it seemed like nobody else had one unless their parents had all folded one and put in their pocket too, and we weren't, none of us, telling each other. I bet, how many grew up with men in your life that carried a handkerchief all the time? Just, yeah. How many guys right now have a handkerchief in your pocket? Yeah. There we go. It's not the under 20 crowd that's got handkerchiefs, by the way. So I didn't have one, but the other thing that a lot of men would carry, and I did in high school, I carried one, and I don't have one now, and the same reason that I don't carry one now is because of my lack of need for it, but always had a comb. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't laugh too hard. They always carried a comb with them, you know, or even, how many remember this? Wallet in the back pocket. Yeah, some of you guys, a lot of guys are probably still doing that. You need to go see a chiropractor because you probably got back problems because you probably got that thing so big, you're all lopsided. And today, let me show you the change. This is what I carry in my pocket a lot. Anybody with me? We carry it, and it's almost like a thing that's attached to us. And there's other things because what happens in life is things change over time, even though for some of us, tradition could be very strong. If we're not careful, the tradition of doing something over and over has lost its purpose for us. Up till about 10 years ago, I think it was about 10 years ago, I carried a comb with me all the time. I didn't need it 10 years ago. Are you hearing me? Just out of tradition, I kept on carrying. Out of habit, I kept carrying the same thing. And what happens is sometimes in life, yeah, there's a function to a pocket knife, although in most of the time of the daily occurrences that I have in life, I don't need the pocket knife as much as maybe a generation ago they would have needed it. So it loses its function. Therefore, there's no power to carrying it. It's just almost symbolic sometimes, the things that we do. And Jesus here in Mark chapter 1, we kind of see him kind of interrupt the traditional, not powerless function of religiosity. It says in verse 21, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. It's cool that Jesus attended a weekly gathering of believers. Did you catch that? Immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It's a big contrast there. We'll talk about it a little bit. Verse 23, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. It's a pretty good way for your first act of ministry, isn't it? Pretty cool way to just come on the scene. Jesus enters into the synagogue. He begins to teach, and he's teaching with a certain authority and a certain power that is uncommon to what they have witnessed before. And if you look at this, in his first 24-hour period of what I would call, what looks like to us, at least the reader, the hands-on ministry, it's a 24-hour period, and he teaches with power and authority, and he has an exorcism in his first, you know, ministerial act. And the people are astonished at this authority. It is blowing their mind. It's power. The power that he is possessing is unlike anything they have seen. And then out of that, it says this, that his fame is spread abroad. And if you look at Jesus contrasting, you know, to the scribes, to the ones who have learned, they've spent time methodically and systematically learning, they've gained knowledge. And, you know, last week I talked about the idea, the difference between having knowledge and taking action. Today, let me help you. They had knowledge, but they had no power. The contrast is Jesus taught as having authority, not like the scribes. Who are the scribes? The scribes are men who would have had great knowledge, but yet they were not teaching with authority. Jesus could teach with a certain power and authority because of who he was and what was going on in his life. And I've said this, and you know, jot it down if you haven't put it in your notes yet, and if you've not gotten acclimated with this for 2016, but in 2016, you need to become more acquainted with the Holy Spirit. You need to become more acquainted with the power of God, with the authority of God moving and working in your life. And his fame, and let me tell you something, you know, I've said this for years, there's a whole lot of things we can do to reach people, and we do those things because we need to do those things. We need to show compassion, we need to reach out to people, but I want to tell you the average family that lives behind the church here with 2.5 kids, one of those gets sick and has a terminal illness, and we pray for that kid, and that kid is healed, no longer has that. There's nothing any greater that will impact that family to turn to Jesus and have an impact on that neighborhood than what just happened to that person, that son or daughter. You hear me? That the power of God, that's why, you know, over and over again you'll hear of missionaries who are on the cutting edge of the gospel going forward in regions that are many times very dark in our world. And one of the things over and over and over again you'll hear is the confirmation that God, that the God of the Bible is God and God alone, because he confirms it with signs and wonders all over this planet. And this is what's happening here, and I want to tell you, his fame spreads immediately. We're starting a series on February the 14th. And again, a little bit more than a series. If you have been here the last couple of weeks, you will remember this, but Jesus is blank. You fill in the blank. We'll do that every week. I want to tell you that we could spend all year filling that blank in because of all that he is to us. But you're going to see some signs go up around, and I just encourage you, there's people in your life that you could invite, because your testimony, the transformation that's happened in your life, when you share that with people, I want to tell you, that's what will impact, and they need to know the Jesus that you know. And it's a great opportunity for you to reach out and to invite some folks, and I encourage you to do that. This morning, I'm with the power to change. A few things that I lift out of this text that I think is important for all of us, and the first one is this, that Jesus comes in, and he's teaching, he's speaking. He's not silent. He doesn't just come in and mix in with the people and not, but he's speaking authoritatively to those people. And I want you to know this morning that you need to be for every believer, we need to be in a place of listening, because God still speaks today. God's not silent, but he still speaks, and he speaks with authority into our lives. That's why the word continually, over and over, you'll hear it say this, you'll read it, says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the church." Paul writing said, now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times. And he talks about what the Spirit speaks. In fact, God speaks, and when God speaks simply, we just need to obey. Many times we get foggy about what God's saying because we just don't want to be obedient. God still speaks. He speaks to us through his word. Eugene Peterson said this, the goal of reading the word is to listen for the voice of the God who speaks. That when you get in your Bible, you're not reading it just so you can say you've read it. You're not reading it just to get through it. You're reading it so that you can hear God speak into your life. And let me tell you something. When you attune your ear to hear, you will hear him speaking with authority in your life. God speaks through his word. He speaks through his son. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through creation. The word of God tells us. He speaks through other believers in your life, and he'll speak to you in prayer. Prayer is not just a monologue for you to set before him and give him all of your wish list, but prayer is a time for you to speak to God and for God to speak back into your life, and he will do that for you. And for many, it's listening for that still small voice that will direct you. And when I say still small voice, doesn't mean that it's without authority. He'll speak with authority. Many times he will speak to you about correction in your life, so that you get back into the place, because how many know that because God loves us, he'll correct us? A loving parent will correct their child, and God will speak words of affirmation to you. Secondly, the thing I see Jesus doing here and that I believe is important for all of us is he seizes an opportunity. You realize that opportunities must be seized when they present themselves. And we talk about change and having the power to change. You got to have an ear to hear what God's speaking in your life, and you got to realize that there are opportunities that will come into your life, and because they come into your life, you've got to seize them. And we must not let them pass, and several things can make us miss opportunities in our life. Number one, if you're not looking for opportunities, I mean, get your head up and get your focus up here, not down all the time. Once you lift your horizon from gloom and doom and start realizing, guess what? There are real, genuine opportunities that God will place in my life. Then you'll start seeing them. But if you're not looking for opportunities, you're going to miss them. And if you don't grasp opportunities at the right time, you may just write this word down in your notes, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Kim and I... yesterday was our 28th anniversary. We've been married 28 years. We were, I don't know, about three or something. We got married or something like that. I don't know. And I remember the time that Kim and I, now I'd been around Kim, knew who Kim was. Evidently, Kim knew who I was too. We probably said maybe three words together to each other, maybe, you think, Kim? She can't remember for sure. But then there was a moment when this is the opportunity, this is the time, and I just grasped that opportunity at that moment because it was the right timing. Before that day, it wouldn't have been the right timing. She just brushed me off, you know. So we miss them because we're not grasping for the opportunities at the right time. Thirdly, sometimes people we miss opportunities because we don't have an initiative to grab the opportunity when it arises. Let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus, don't be lazy and complacent and passive. I'm talking about power this morning. I mean, we'll continue to emphasize this. But take initiative and do something. If you look around at your life and your life is mediocre and it's not going anywhere and you feel like, what am I doing? I just encourage you, take initiative. Do something. Some of you will have life group signups here next week, I believe it is. And we still, I think maybe the Dream Team, you can still plug into the Dream Team. But easy ways for you to take some initiative and just do something. And then the other thing that we don't do is we don't handle the opportunity properly many times. So here's an opportunity, and we just really mishandle it. And that's where your communication with God is so vital and so important. Opportunities will arise. Dream Team, life groups, easy opportunities to plug in. In fact, Next Steps starts next week, and you can still register. There we go. I'm looking for the nodding head. Thank you. You can register out in the lobby for that. If I'm looking at you and your head's not nodding, it's not because I'm just looking for the nodding head. Thank you. Thirdly, Jesus utilizes the moment. Life is made up of moments. You realize that, don't you? And I say this a lot, I believe it, but in life, there's big days and there's small days, and you got to make the decision that you're going to have big days. Big day means this for me. It means that when I start my day out, I realize that something significant can happen today, and I've got to align myself in a place that I'm watching and seeing the opportunities, and that every moment of the day could mean something that is beyond just me. And if we're not careful, we'll make mistakes with time. We can lose time by just letting it pass. We can ignore time by not paying any attention as it passes by. We can neglect time by just being unconcerned and not caring. We can abuse time by doing the opposite of what we know we should be doing. And I'm just telling you, the writer in Psalms said this, that we're here for a little while, and then we're going to vanish away. And so, Lord, here's the prayer that he had. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So what are you going to do with the time that you have? And understanding that you got to utilize every moment. Jesus immediately goes into synagogue. Here he is. He sees the opportunity to teach. And very quickly, he utilizes that moment. It's a start of his ministry. And then one of the things that I lift out of this is that you got to recognize power to change, experiencing change in your life. You got to recognize the operation of the enemy. You got to recognize, because let me tell you something. When you understand that there is an enemy of your soul, and Jesus said like this in John 10:10, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When you understand that that's his plan and agenda, and we dealt a little bit with this a few weeks ago. You can go online and elevationindy.com and get the messages online there. But the idea, when you understand the source of something, and then you start seeing how he operates. I had a guy not too many years ago. He sat down with me, and he had a very problematic situation where he continued to fall into this sin, and it was devastating. And my heart really went out to him. And so I started talking through, like, okay, so tell me about how this happens in your life. He said, well, usually, like, you know, I'll go to a bar and, you know, I have a few drinks, and then before too long, I'm doing cocaine, and then I'm caught in this sin. And he said, you know, it's just me. I tell people, I'm not a counselor. I'm just going to give you common sense in the Bible. And I said, listen, man, I would never, ever go to a bar again if that's where it leads to me to be. I wouldn't go to Applebee's, man. I wouldn't set foot. Let me tell you something. And you say, Pastor, can we not go get a good grilled chicken sandwich at Applebee's? I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is, watch this. the operation of the enemy in this guy's life, there was a pattern to it. And it always worked the same way. And before too long, this guy that came to church and was all happy about Jesus and wanted to serve God, it just took a few moments of time, and before too long, the enemy had wrecked his life, and then he would be into this guilt and shame for a month, miss church, not show up, just down, out, and when he really wanted to follow God and serve Jesus in his life, but he just couldn't understand. And for us, looking at this, we say, okay, it's common sense. We can understand, we can see this. It was the operation of the enemy in his life that was trying to torture and mess his life up. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you don't recognize the operation of the enemy, you'll never experience the power to change in your life. And I'm going to tell you, there's natural discernment, common sense, as I just told you, and there's spiritual discernment. And I've said this, you need to be more acquainted with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be led by the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled life will help you to have a Spirit-led life. And as you do, let me tell you, the Bible says this, that one of the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. So if the enemy's trying to work in your life, the Holy Spirit can give you a certain detection of what's going on so that you can back away from that and exclude that pattern and that cycle from happening in your life. You got to recognize the operation of the enemy. And Jesus, very quickly, and I like the way that Mark defines this, an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit is going to do what? It's going to make you unclean. That's its desire. That's what its goal is. And Jesus comes in. He teaches with authority, not as the scribes. It's like tradition versus authority. They've got the tradition. Jesus brings the authority. It's form versus power. They've got a form where they've learned, but Jesus brings power. It's religion, scribes versus the life that Jesus brings. You realize this man that has been suffering at the hands of this evil spirit is now going to experience life. The scribes weren't doing that for him. It's profession versus possession. Jesus possessed something. It wasn't just a profession for him. He possessed something that they didn't have. The Bible says it like this, that we can go and arrive at a place where we have a form of godliness but deny the very power thereof. I like what Francis Frangipane wrote his book, This Day We Fight. He said, the Spirit of God does not want us merely to tolerate oppression. He desires us to conquer it. He has not called us to passivity. He's called us to war. He has anointed us with the power of his Holy Spirit, and Jesus has given us his authority over all of the power of the enemy. You realize this morning that God didn't call us to a place to just kind of settle. But when we talk about change, he's called us to a place where we can experience real change, and there is power to change in your life. You don't have to continue to go down the same road that you've always been, deal with the same kind of things. I mean, when we look at this passage, you see a possessed man, you see the power of Jesus, and then you see the impact it has on people, and it's powerful. And so how does this happen in our life? Well, first of all, I was thinking about power, and when I think about power in our world and how we recognize power, there's definitely a lot of things that come to mind. One could say, well, there's these big militaries, or as nations will exercise power over one another, or nuclear armaments, or when I see sometimes a picture of the big hydroelectric dams that are built, and they produce all this power, they're just very powerful, or a hurricane. But I thought about one in Indiana that we see quite a bit that is, to me, demonstrates power, and that's lightning. There's different types of lightning, and I'm not a meteorologist or have any depth of this, but a little bit I do know is that there's lightning. If you've ever been in an airplane and you've seen a storm while you're up there, you'll notice like there's this cloud-to-cloud lightning or icy intra-cloud lightning where you'll see lightning. Anybody ever been in an airplane? You're flying, you look over, and you can see the storm and the lightning going. It's really fascinating and bizarre at the same time. And then there's what's called CG lightning, where it's cloud to ground. And we see a lot of that, where we'll see the cloud, the lightning will come down. It's very powerful stuff. But there's another kind of lightning called GC. And GC lightning, it is when you see a big antenna like a radio or TV antenna, these big high ones, and you'll see lightning. In fact, lightning strikes on those are more, happen more than any other place in the world, on those aerials, those big antennas. More than any other direct lightning strikes. In fact, you can almost predict that when a storm's coming by, that lightning's going to strike there, and it's called GC, ground to cloud. There's something about, and I don't understand all the science about it, but there's something about that big antenna that when the storm passes by, that it attracts, something to do with negative and positive charges and all that stuff, it attracts the lightning to strike there. And for every one of us, if we want to experience the power to change, what we have to do is we have to be like that antenna where we have positioned and aligned ourselves, and somehow the power that is in heaven finds a place of agreement on earth and it connects with power. And I want to tell you, that's what you've got to do with your life. If you want change in your life, you've got to align yourself by listening to what God is speaking, by getting in His Word, by spending time in prayer, by having an ear to hear. You've got to align yourself so that the power of heaven finds a place of agreement on earth, and continually, over and over and over again, you experience the power of God in your life like lightning would strike. You experience that power so you can experience the change that God has for you. You see, there's an entire difference in lightning just striking. They say this, that it's almost like the lightning starts, electrical charge starts at the antenna. It's invisible to us. The reaching from earth to heaven's invisible to us, but the visible power of heaven coming to earth is very visible, and that's what you need in your life. And secondly, if I want to have power to change, I need to understand kind of the purpose of that. Isaiah 61 and verse 4 in NIV says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Isaiah 58 verses 10 and 12 says, and if you give yourself, if you furnish yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. Let me help you. When you get in a place, you want to experience change in your life, you've got to understand that a part of the thing that will bring change in your life is when you restore the places that have been long devastated. There's places in your life, there's places in the community, there's places in this city that have been long devastated, places of waste, places of ruin. And when you experience the power of God in your life, then what you do is you start moving into a direction, just like Jesus gives this picture. Here's someone who's suffering from this unclean spirit, hopelessness, devastation. Jesus becomes change for that situation. He'll become change for situations in your life when you allow Him to work through you. We've got a homeless outreach coming up here in a couple Saturdays. And I encourage you, there's a place out there where you can give hats and gloves, and there's a sign out there that gives you the directions. But I just encourage you. It's one way you can do it. The other thing is you can go down with them and you can help engage at City View. And one of the easy ways to connect and help to just be a conduit to see devastated places changed. Because what happens is when you start allowing God to work through you and touch others, you start realizing that the stuff you're dealing with can be conquered and can be solved. And you embrace power to change because you see God working in other people's lives and you see God using you. And thirdly, this morning, I was thinking about how this week, when I grew up on the west side of Indianapolis, and in the late 70s, early 80s on the west side of Indianapolis, Avon is a big, thriving community now, Plainfield as well, and other communities in the west side. But when I was growing up, there was just not much over there. So if we wanted to go someplace, you got in the car, and we had a big gold station wagon, Grand Torino, with wood panels down the side. But I think it was the one that had the seat that flipped back, and you could watch people behind you, like make faces at them while you're sitting at stoplight. But we go driving somewhere, and so if we wanted to go to like a big store like Ayers or Blocks, we'd have to go downtown. Or then Lafayette Square was a nice place to go. You may go to Lafayette Square maybe, but wherever it was, if you wanted, you had to drive for a distance, it seemed like, at least as a kid. In fact, I remember as a kid, all the other kids in the car would, you know, it's kind of, you go someplace, they would all be asleep. It was like 20 minutes, but you get them in the car and all of a sudden they're all like, you know, slobbering on the window and stuff, you know. I was always the guy that was awake looking around, and what would happen to me is I would see these signs that would say Chicago, Louisville, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Peoria, Fort Wayne. I'd see these signs, and in my mind, because I would, sometimes didn't know where we were going, you know, you're a kid, you just go what they tell you, right along, I thought, oh man, we're going to Chicago. And I'd have all these fantastical thoughts in my mind about what it was going to be like when we got to Chicago. We were almost there because I could see the sign that said it. I'm 8. I'm old enough to read, but not old enough to understand things. And so I'm thinking because it says that sign there, a signpost is there with the name of the city on it, that we must be there. We've drove so long, everybody's asleep. Again, a kid doesn't always have a concept of what time is, so we've been in that car forever. Everybody's asleep. There's a sign that says St. Louis. We're going to get to see the arch. I've dreamed all about it. Everything I've learned in school, I've got it in my mind. We're going to go do it. And then we get off, and there's, you know, there's Target. Or we didn't have Target. Airway. Airway. Digging deep. And we didn't go there at all. And the problem is, I was doing what a lot of adults do. I thought we could get off and exit, and we're there. See, here's what we do in life as adults. We see the first glimpse, the first sign of what we think we want, of what we desire in our life. We step on the scales and we lost 2 pounds, or we open up our Bible 2 days in a row and read a chapter, and we think, okay, we've arrived, we've made it, when all we're doing is seeing signposts of another realm that we've not made it to yet. And so for what we have to do is, what you need to do with change, if you want to see the power of change in your life, you've got to burn the signpost of the other realm that's in your life that you continually think. Because it would be like this. Could you imagine if a group of people saw the sign on 65 that said Chicago, and they went off and they got off the exit there and they parked and they got out to look at Chicago? Because they're not there. They're still in Indianapolis. They're not in Chicago. They're a great distance away. And what many believers do, they desire this or that, but yet they exit too early and they don't experience the fullness of it. They come in on a Sunday morning and they hear the pastor talk about a spirit-filled life and a spirit-led life, and they say, yeah, let's do this. But then they exit right there and they think they've arrived without ever pushing past to experience the total destination, where it becomes a reality and it moves them into a different realm in their spiritual walk. That's what God desires. And so what you have to do is you got to burn those signposts today. Don't get misled and think, because you had a good thought about it, or you heard a good message about it, or you had a warm feeling, or you had goosebumps, or something felt all warm and fuzzy, that you've arrived. You've got to push yourself. This is where the power of change. Can you imagine Jesus? I mean, we know he's God incarnate and God in the flesh, and so he walks in the synagogue, and there's a lot that he could do. But can you imagine, because he experienced all the stuff that we experienced, the feelings that we, can you imagine when he walks in there as a man? Who is he to teach with this authority? Who is he to do any of this? There's men in there that's far superior in age, and practically speaking, they've spent more time in their life learning. They're scribes, but yet Jesus is willing to burn all the signposts that would point otherwise and say, and it says this, immediately he entered the synagogue and he taught with authority. And God's speaking in our lives today. And if you'll understand that you can be a carrier of his presence and his power in your life, if you'll align, and that'll cause you to want to restore devastated places. But the way that I experience all of that is when I burn the signpost of everything that points otherwise in my life. I'd like for you to stand with me this morning, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, I know this, that maybe you're standing here and you say, Pastor, I want the power to change. When I hear stories like the one I shared earlier, it frustrates me of an individual that wants to serve God but continues to fall into the traps of the enemy and never experience the total change that is available. And maybe you're in a place where you say, Pastor, I continually just hit back in this cycle. I want to experience a spirit-filled, spirit-led life. I want to experience God working and speaking and be in a place where I'm accomplishing the purpose that he has, but I've kind of got stuck. And maybe you're there where you've exited into a place where you saw the sign. It looked like you were there, but you're not there yet. And maybe you don't know how to get unstuck. And so here's what I want to do. If you'll bow your heads for a moment, I'm just going to ask you this. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me just ask you this. If you're there today and you say, hey, I feel like I'm stuck, exited too early, I feel like I've not been hearing God, I don't feel like I've been in alignment or agreement for God to work in my life or the power of God, but I desire that today. If you just shoot your hand up real quickly. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always amazing to me how that God works, that we do two services here. In the first or the second, God assembles the people that need to hear a certain portion or part of what has been said today, the message that he's given. And I know this, that it's easy to embrace a moment of just, well, that sounds good, or I need that, but I want to challenge you. We're going to pray, but I want to challenge you as we say this prayer that you just grasp that wholeheartedly for yourself. Realize that today is an opportunity. God is speaking to you. There's an opportunity that you need to seize it. You need to utilize this moment. Driving in your car won't be the same as it is right here. You need to recognize.